This episode is brought to you by Home Team Inspection Service. When you partner with Home Team, you're getting more than a home inspection. You're delivering the home team experience. With a team approach, fast turnarounds, and package options that include home inspection warranties, Home Team helps real estate pros stand out. Plus, many locations now offer pay at close, giving your clients flexibility when they need it most. Schedule your next inspection with confidence at HomeTeam.com.
Find what it is that you're passionate about that you can just spend all day talking about. And the people that are attracted to what you're talking about are naturally going to come to you and help you build that business without you really having to convince.
Welcome to this episode of the Color of Money podcast. I'm joined by my amazing co-hosts, Julie Lachey and Imric Peace. And today we have a very, very special treat for you. We are joined by Melanie Miller, one of the 2024 NAR 30 Under 30 honorees. She is an amazing person with an amazing story, and we are so excited to have her on the podcast. A D1 athlete, a top producer in the Chicago Association of Realtors, a mom, a social media influencer, an amazing realtor, a great thinker. I've had a lot of chances to read her story. This is my first time getting to meet her, but the way that she and her husband have thought about their wealth journey and how that affects their family is really inspirational. So thank you for joining us, Melanie.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited.
So Melanie, I always love, and we were just chatting a little bit before we get started, and I always love to start with, like, I call it your real estate origin story. Like, how'd you end up in this business? Because not many people wake up when they're little kids and say, hey, I want to be a realtor. So how did you get into this business?
Well, you know, funny story. I actually did say as a child I wanted to wake up and be a realtor.
Real good. Okay. So you were a good one.
Because I used to wake up every morning getting ready for school and I would watch Egypt Sherrod. Literally every morning. So it's funny, and I had the little piece, but I went into college saying that I wanted to be a doctor, actually. Because my mom was like, oh no, like doing real estate, she would always say, you're not gonna be fulfilled doing that. You're not gonna love it. You're not gonna love it. Go be a doctor. I said, okay, fine. I enter into college, pre-med course. As you mentioned before, I'm a Division I athlete. I'm playing volleyball. I'm doing all the things. And I'm like, oh my gosh, these courses are, you know, maybe not as fun as I thought they would be. So I actually decided to switch my major into psychology. Went through college and got my degree actually from the University of Illinois at Chicago. And it was in my final semester of school that I found out that I was expecting my first child with my now husband, who's just my boyfriend at the time. And we had one rule where it's like, okay, we have a child. We can't bring that child back home to mama's house. So from there, it was like figuring out what would make the most sense for us being 23 years old at the time. And originally we were thinking like, let's go and try to find a place that we can rent and just really figure out where we want to be and how all the things. But we had a gigantic pit bull, had to be at least 100 pounds. His name is Boomer. That was like our first child. And I loved him so much that all the places we would apply would say, oh, no dogs, no dogs, no dogs. And I was like, well, no apartment, no apartment, no apartment. So then we were thinking, okay, let's go ahead and, you know, get a home. Get a single family. I grew up in a multifamily investment property, and spending all those years like multi-generational living, I was like, I want some space for my kid. Like, I don't know if I really want to be in an apartment again. Right. And my husband was like, we're about to go through a shift in our lives. The most important thing is making sure that you have the ability to take care of our daughter. You're going to be not working because you are going to be at home taking care of her. We don't want to have to worry about anything. Let's go ahead and get a multi-unit. So that way we're not spending a lot out of pocket on our mortgage and our tenants are paying basically our mortgage. So that part, I was like, okay, you know what? Let me retract. You're right. I had to follow his advice. We got into a multi-unit and we haven't looked back, honestly. It was by far probably the best decision that we could have ever made in our young lives. And I'm so happy that we did that.
Wow.
I just want to double click there because I think what you just said is so powerful. At 23 years old, right, you and your now husband made a decision to set aside some of the aspirational nature of real estate in return for quality of life in raising your child and wealth building. And that decision for that's a pretty mature decision.
Yes.
That many folks struggle with in real estate. I just wanted to like double click for folks there. And maybe you could tell us a little bit more about why that was the most impactful decision you've made in your life and how it set up the rest of it.
Well, I will say it's foresight and vision. I will say that my husband and I, we live right now, but we think about like 20 years from now all the time. I think it's because we hang out with older people. Like we were 23, but like our friends were like 28, 30. He's a Chicago police officer. So a lot of them, he was actually the youngest Chicago police officer, I think, in like 30 years to get on with the department. So being in that space where it's like, okay, you have people that are actually living their second lives, right? Like becoming a Chicago police officer was like their second career. Being around them and kind of soaking up some of that information, absorbing that, but then also mixed with like my YOLO attitude where I'm like, okay, yeah, like everything in my life, I'll try at least once and just see what happens. I never felt locked in, if that makes sense. I think a lot of times people think, oh, if I get this one property, I'm going to be stuck here and like this is going to be it. And I never really felt that way about real estate because I watched also my parents invest in real estate. You know, even to this day, like my dad develops real estate down in Nashville. So I kind of knew that no matter where I would be, I wasn't stuck there. So I wasn't afraid to like just take the plunge and see what happens that one time. You know what I mean? So that's probably definitely what gave us that ability or that vision so young.
So now you're in this multi-generational, I love the way you said, generational building, and you just had a baby.
Yeah.
So take us from there.
So my tenant actually was a family member. So it really helped us out a lot because they still pay rent, which is great, right? But they also were able to help with me, like raising my daughter. And the way that the multi-unit was set up was like really nice. We were particular about looking for certain things that were going to fit our lifestyle for that time. So like we made sure that we had like a 2-car garage. We had a really nice size backyard. It had a basement that we could, you know, have for storage and additional living space. So we actually really enjoyed living in that multi-unit. So I would say a lot of times people think the experience isn't always the greatest, but it's the experience that you make, right? So we made that multi-unit work for us. And little hint to the story, we then went on to have another child. We had our son. So basically our kids are 11 months apart. So shortly after we had my daughter, we loved living in a multi-unit so much, we said, hey, let's bring another person in here. And we had our son Maverick. So we really just made it work for us and we were able to save money. That was the number one thing. It's like we weren't paying a mortgage. So we were able to stack that money to the side and be able to have some flexibility with what we were deciding to do still at that point now, 24, 25.
How'd you get into real estate?
So as I told you earlier, I grew up watching Egypt Sherrod. I was like obsessed with real estate always. And
I got to stop there because when you said that, Melanie, I wondered how she might feel, you know, when people say, I grew up watching you, thinking like, dang, are we that old? What do you mean you grew up watching Egypt Sherrod?
No, I still, even to this day, obviously still watch her.
I'm wrapping my brain around the whole fortuitousness about growing your life that way, being that young, and then transitioning into real estate the way that you did. I want you to keep going on. How did you get into this journey of actually selling real estate? Now you got me sitting on the edge of my seat.
Okay,
so.
Well, get your seatbelt on. No. So actually, and I said to my husband, hey, we want to own more properties. We're stacking up this money. Like, let's make this money work for us. And we were thinking about doing some flips. So I was like, let me go ahead and actually get licensed. Remember, I mentioned I wanted to get licensed before I went to college, but my mom was like, no. I said, you know what? I'm going to do it. I was actually, at the time when I got licensed, when I was going through the pre-licensing course, I was pregnant with my son. And the day I was supposed to take my exam, I actually gave birth to him, right? So I had to take a little bit of a step back of getting my official broker's license and decided to do some leasing. So I worked with a company that's no longer in existence. They were like bought up, but I worked in the Lakeview area of Chicago, leasing out apartments, I was able to work with a lot of landlords. I was able to work with a lot of property management companies, and I was able to work with a lot of tenants. That was like my real experience since I was so young. That was my real experience to really see what other people were experiencing in real estate, right? So when I would see people that had like, were saying, oh, I'm going to rent an apartment, I would kind of immediately be like, wow, you're like, you're spending a lot of money on rent. Like, why? When you can go and own something. So that really was like, okay, I need to buckle down, get my broker's license and really start going from there. So I got officially licensed in February of 2020. Do you guys remember what happened in like February 2020?
Absolutely. Yeah.
COVID, right? So, and I loved COVID because where a lot of brokers were super fearful, I didn't even know what to be afraid of. Because I'm like, what's happening? You know, like I'm 25, I'm just young and I'm having fun. And people were like, I want you to help me do what you've done. I don't understand, again, very similar to how you guys are saying, how at so young of an age are you guys able to get investment properties? Like, I don't think I can do that. And so I literally became attracted to like millennials. I'm like, guys, like, let's do it. Like, we can own up all the real estate in Chicago. Like, I'm not going to say it's the easiest thing in the world, but it's literally like, it's so attainable, in my opinion, if you have the proper guidance. The broker that we used when we got our multi-unit, because I was not licensed at the time, was an amazing broker, but wasn't necessarily like a specialist in multifamily. So I knew that when I became licensed, it was like day one, I know that I want to work with multifamily investment properties and I want to work with the people that are trying to attain them or offload them.
Well, wait, what, Melody, I'm going to stop you because you have only been licensed for 4 years and you made it into the 30 under 30?
Yes, ma'am.
Do tell your secrets because some people have been at this for 15, 20 years and still can't make anybody's list and anybody's success rate or anything. That's a tremendously wonderful accolade that you have NAR's 30 under 30 and you've only been licensed for 4 years. That's crazy. Well, how did you get all these clients?
Social media. I have a little, it's a secret, I guess, but it's not. I knew I wanted to do multifamily. That was my niche from the start. And before I even had clients, I would like go to multi-units and say, hey guys, like everybody knows me for this on social media. Hey guys, it's your girl Mel Mill, the real realtor, like literally. And I would do all these videos of me walking through multi-units, explaining what it was like to live in a multi-unit, explaining like down payment, you know, down payment assistant options, all the different things. And I would attract clients. And the fact that I already owned a multi-unit, I had been through that experience. So I think it really attracted people to that where they're like, okay, she knows what she's talking about. And then on top of it, I am truly like a student of the game of real estate. Like I'm obsessed with like figuring out different lending options. I spend like hours on the phone with like some of my preferred lenders, learning what are the tricks and the trades to financing, right? Because that's really the key when you learn the tricks and the trades to financing. And then also spending so much time with my attorneys and being like, okay, what is the different nuance of this deal and different nuance of that deal? So that part where I'm like super educated and super interested in what I'm talking about, coupled with my own personal experience, again, I think it just really attracts my clients to me. And referral and word of mouth is so big. So I've never had to do a cold call. I've never had to do like a random source for any of my sellers or my buyers. They really come to me just by like word of mouth and like give me everybody like a good experience. And they're like, want to come back.
Talk a little bit about what's the power of being clear on that niche. Like you said, I want to do multifamily investing. How did that influence like your strategy about how you created content and how you moved forward? And
yeah, I actually just hosted, I'm part of YPN, Young Professional Network for Car, and I actually just hosted our breakfast last month, which was about niching, and I was also on their podcast last year, but it's called, we called it Niches to Riches, right? Mm-hmm. And I guess my strategy is kind of similar. When it comes to me putting things on my page, I'm giving information about multifamily really only. I'm doing videos about multifamily. Of course, I work with clients that are getting condos and single families, but if you were to look for me on social media, what are you going to see me talking about? You're going to see me talking about multifamily investing. And this is my number one trick to any realtor, if you're listening. Find what it is that you're passionate about that you can just spend all day talking about. And when you find that, put that on your socials, and the people that are attracted to what you're talking about are naturally going to come to you and help you build that business without you really having to convince. You know what I mean? Like, majority of the people that are coming to me, I'm there to provide the information. What is it like to own multi-units? How do you get into a multi-unit? How do you then grow a portfolio with a multi-unit? I'm not having to take someone that's maybe more so interested in getting a condo and saying, hey, like, no, get a multi-unit. Or that would be similar to someone that is living on the west side. Now I need to convince them to come move to the south side or something like that, right? I am living in my truth, as I call it, when it comes to real estate and just truly sticking to that one thing. And not only that, it gives me the information through practice. Real estate is very much a practice. So the more that I'm like practicing multi-units and practicing these deals, I get better and better at it every time. And everybody's experience in terms of clients gets elevated and better every time.
Home Team Inspection Service is changing the way agents and clients experience home inspections. Their team-based model, streamlined scheduling, and bundled packages, including home inspection warranties, make the process smoother from contract to closing. And with Pay at Close available in many locations, you can give your buyers more peace of mind with less upfront cost. Choose the team that works with yours. Visit hometeam.com to learn more.
I like that. I guess the whole conversation is that Mel Mill is a resident expert on multifamily.
Yeah.
Is that what we're saying?
Yep.
And I think that's a part that's missed in this business. If someone said, what's your expertise? And Mel Mill can say,
Multifamily.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And are you saying that as a suggestion to other people? Find out what can you be the resident expert on to help you grow your life and grow your business?
I mean, I would, right? I think that that's what has allowed me to see so much success in such a short time.
I think that's a perfect way. I even wrote that down. I like that niches to riches they did. That's a good one.
Yeah, like snitches get stitches.
Yes, it is.
Niches get riches, stitches get stitches.
Niches get riches. I like the idea and concept of that because, as you know, there's other Keller Williams podcasts. One of them is a millionaire real estate agent. And they always talk about the guests that they interview. They are very clear on what they do. They are very clear on who they service and what they attract. But what you said that I like especially is you like, what is it you could talk about all day? And basically the people you want to serve will find you. You're not hunting people down. You're not begging people to buy property. You're talking about what you know, what you're passionate about. And you're digging really deep into that. And people are like, I like what she's talking about. I need to call her. I think there's a lot of power in really focusing on that niche and being able to wake up and say, like you said, I know what I do. I do multifamily. That's what I do. There's a lot of power in that that's obviously given you a lot of success.
And it's authentic, Julia, right? It's authentic. It's an experience you had. It's coming. It's not like I just decided I'm the luxury realtor, even though I've never lived in a luxury house. Not really a luxury, but I like luxury and I someday want to be luxury, so I'm going to be the luxury realtor. No, she did something she'd actually lived, she'd experienced,
Good.
And that's part of, it's not just a niche, it's an authentic niche.
That's great, yeah.
That just comes back to in that space when you have the power of being able to tell a story, the power of storytelling. And that I believe that probably gives a more authentic presentation and make you operate in your authentic self because you can tell the story that's your story and help somebody else live through that. That's why I was sitting at the edge of my seat. See, because you've been telling the story and I got to the edge of my seat. And with your customers and clients, that's something also. What's your business right now?
How you get leads? How's it structured? How do you run it? You have a team? How do you have a team? You do
yourself? So I do have a team, but it's just a duo. It's myself and my business partner, Unique Gill. And I met Unique actually when I first got licensed in 2020. We were on another team together. That team later on dissolved and we went on to go our separate ways, but we went to the same brokerage. And we spent a year kind of apart figuring out, like, what do we want to do? How do we want to do it? What did her business look like? What did my business look like? And then we had like this aha moment where I do multifamily and I do a majority in the city. She does single family homes, majority in the suburbs. And it was like, okay, let's put our two niches together and create what we call the UMI group. Okay, so it's the first two initials of her name, Unique, and the first two initials of my name, Melanie, and it creates Yumi. And together, we have been able to go so much further, faster, right? through that collaboration, because I tell people all the time, you know, you're going to see me first and then you're going to head Unique's way, right? Because nobody's going to live in a multifamily forever. You know, you're going to eventually matriculate into a single family home or a condo. So then why not stay with someone that I know that they operate similar to me in their business, and then you're going to matriculate in that direction? Or say you hit up Unique first, you know, say, hey, I want to get my single family home established. You're going to meet me. You're going to see me down the road, because you're going to want to start to build that generational wealth. 9 times out of 10, if you own a piece of real estate, you're going to want to get something else on the investment terms inside of things. So the Yumi Group is truly like the ultimate collaboration of servicing kind of now all things in real estate. Because I think people get fearful when I tell them to niche down. They get fearful of like, well, what about my other business? I'm going to be missing out. No, you're just going to structure your business to where it still makes sense for you, but then giving your clients what they deserve, right? Which is an expert in that field. Without being facetious, I don't want to walk you through a single family home for real. You know, I don't really care what color the cabinets are. I'm like, numbers, does this building make sense? Is the location going to appreciate? But if you want a little bit more fluff, I have the perfect person for you. So
yeah, that's good.
We have a duo. We don't really have, like, it's nobody else on the team. You don't even have an admin. But majority of our business comes by way of social media. So either people that are following us and reaching out to us, or have family and friends that are reaching out and following us, and then referral. I have the benefit, Unique calls it a strange benefit, where I even have other brokers refer their business to me, right? Because a lot of brokers don't have that experience like I do in multifamily. So I get referrals from brokers, I get referrals from lenders, referrals from attorneys. I like to communicate with people and talk to people. And I think people receive that and they're like, yeah, this girl's got it. Like, we're going to give her the business. So we've been fortunate enough to become top producers 2 years in a row with Chicago Association of Realtors. And then this past year, actually, we were bronze top producers, which if you look up the stats, it's pretty.
Yeah. What does that, mean, Melanie? What does it mean to be bronze with a top producer? What does all that mean?
Essentially means you did over 20 million in transactions.
Okay. Wow.
For Chicago Association of Realtors. And one thing that Unique and I pride ourselves on is that we are both young and we are Black women. And if you look at Chicago Association of Realtors, the top producers, very rarely are you going to come across people that look like us. And so, again, I'm a former Division I athlete. I always have like a chip on my shoulder where it's like, if I'm going to do something, like, I'm going to be the best.
What sport did you play? You've mentioned a couple of times you were a D1 athlete.
Volleyball.
Oh, volleyball.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay. Yep. Yeah.
So I'm always like, okay, I need to go for the next big point, which actually kind of started me on this journey of like wanting to become 30 under 30 as well. Because I like to say I'm really good at what I do in terms of multifamily. And I want people to be really interested in it. And I know that in order for people to be interested in it, unfortunately, you have to have the stats, you have to have the numbers, you have to have the accolades behind you. And so I am wanting to put that front and center, and also let other Black women know, very much like how Egypt did for me, that you can be a dominant force in this field that is majority not us. Especially when dealing in the investment side of things in multifamily, there are just not a lot of young Black women, especially in that space. But there are still buyers that look like me that want to get in. There are still sellers that look like me and want to get moved on or moved out. So why not be that person that they can look to and have like a 5-star experience from a true expert in that field?
Tell us a little bit about the 30 under 30 journey. From when you first got interested to when you actually applied to when you actually got it. Tell us a little bit about that journey and then maybe a little bit how it's affected your experience since then.
Sure. So I looked into 30 under 30. I probably was 25. I met with a coach that I had at the time when I was at my previous brokerage, and she's a former 30. And she's like, Mel, have you ever heard of 30 under 30? I'm like, no, I haven't. And she's like, you would make an ideal candidate for it. It's essentially where NAR looks at brokers that have a great story, that are passionate about helping clients. And, you know, you basically can matriculate into becoming a 30 under 30. And I said, okay, cool. Sign me up, girl. Like, do whatever. And she's like, no. You will know. Her name is Rachel Scheib. She said, you will know when it's your time. And I said, okay. And I received that, right? I was patient. At the time, I was just super focused on like giving my clients a great experience and had kind of, I had thought about 30 under 30, but I had kind of put it like in the back of my head, right? And when I started getting on YPN, my business has continued to excel. I said, you know what? I'm going to just apply and see what happens. I didn't know if I would get it or not. I mean, it's a very competitive accolade to achieve. And I'm not going to lie to you when I say I was fearful because, again, a lot of people that look like me on the list, they're not there, right? So I'm like, oh, you know, am I going to get it? How is it going to? And then, again, too, it's like I didn't know a lot of former 30s. I didn't know really, like, you know, I was like, okay, when it comes time for me to get a letter to recommend me, who am I going to go to? You know what I mean? So I was just very patient with it and made sure that the story that I wanted to portray when I applied for 30 under 30 was there and visible. And I think the people that listened to me and interviewed me felt that. And they're like, okay, great. Like, she's, you know, until they obviously put me in to succeed. I made some really cute, cool videos too. I don't know if you guys saw them. But my entrance video, I actually took the spoof of like Legally Blonde when she was about to apply for Harvard. And so I kind of like, my video is a play off that. It's really funny. It's on YouTube if people want to see
it. I'm going to find it. We'll put the link. You know, we have show notes in this podcast and people can click on all your stuff. We'll make sure we put your social in there and the link to the YouTube video in there because now everybody wants to see.
Yeah. So look at the video. I was like sitting in my jacuzzi, like, it's like, oh, like, of course you would want to pick me for 30. Like, it's very similar to her Harvard video. And like, that's the type of stuff I enjoy doing. And I think people see that like through the screen almost. And, you know, it just works. And on top of me having the numbers and, again, just the accolades too to back it up. In terms of the way my life has shifted since becoming a 30, it's been interesting, right? It's like you gear up real heavy to get 30 under 30. You start meeting people. I've definitely been on more podcasts probably than ever now. I was featured in an article for Top Producer Magazine, which is like a really nice publication that was really fun, and did a photo shoot for that. And then I've also had the privilege of meeting a few other 30 under 30 members and referred business to them and kind of just picked their brains. It's really a great network of people that are there to help you and, you know, expand your business even more than it's already expanded. So I'm excited to connect with some more 30 under 30 individuals when we have our big meetup in September.
Yeah, I double click on that 30 under 30 network and the learning from people around the country in different classes and different generations. It's been a huge part of my real estate experience. And I'd also encourage people out there, because a lot of our listeners are like, well, how do I become a 30 under 30? How do I do that? And I would really encourage you to reach out to people like Mal, and I know Harrison Beecher and some of these others who've been really instrumental in wanting to support folks who want to go through that process and really think about that. And I know for me back then, it was my first sort of transition from being like my local realtor to trying to think about things more globally and having a national presence. And back then in the old days, you know, as Imric would tell us, you know, social media wasn't quite the thing, but you know, we went quickly from 30 under 30 to Inc. Magazine's top 30 entrepreneurs to Yahoo Finance. And so it was able to really open up the world. And so I love how you're taking advantage of that. I hope you continue to take advantage of that and also reach out and help others who may want to go on that journey. Cause it's quite an accomplishment with how many people apply for that. And so congratulations and keep doing your things.
Thank you. I want to definitely bring more people, like make it more aware, I think, in our community, the Black and Brown community of 30 under 30, I'm like, let's liven this thing up a little bit, you know? So definitely felt like there's so many realtors that I know, that I hang out with, that I communicate with on a daily basis. And I'm like, hey, look into other things that you can get involved in just in terms of the community of being in real estate. Like I tell you all the time, if you're going to be here, you got to do it.
Be here, show up, show up and do it right. Yeah. And I think it's true. There are not enough people that know about it, especially that look like us. It's exciting. I was telling Emmerich earlier, like, you know, our KWCP, like our little group here, you know, in DC and Maryland of agents in the brokerage make up over 50%.
You guys kill it every year.
Make up more than like 50% of all the people of color on the 30 under 30 list coming out of one little place. And, you know, it's all because the roots that Uncle Emmerich planted years ago. But that shouldn't be the case. I want to keep that being the case because we're great, but we want to add more people to that list. It shouldn't be there's one or two slots. You know, we should be representing in this industry because with the young talent that's out there.
Absolutely.
So we've had an awesome opportunity today to hear about your amazing journey in real estate and everything you've been able to accomplish in such a short time. It's truly amazing. A lot of our listeners out there are early in their careers, aspiring to have the same type of success that you have. They're maybe shooting to be a 30 under 30, definitely shooting to build a great business like you have. If you had to think about like what's one piece of advice you would have given the younger Mel that was like, you know, getting started, what would that be?
Well, that's actually one of my favorite questions and the easiest question for me to ever answer when people ask is to be your authentic self and find what it is that you are passionate about in real estate and just in life, right? You can give that authentic advice. You can give your story. You can share what people are really looking for. And it doesn't feel gimmicky. It doesn't feel like you're selling them. It's just truly like, wow, I see what you're doing and I want to do that too. So find what it is that you are most passionate and connected to.
And, you know, a lot of folks, we've got this passion inside of us. We know who we are, but a lot of our feeling is that professionally we got to show up a certain way or we got to be a certain thing. How did you connect to that authentic purpose of yourself? And how did you give yourself permission to just be you?
I think a lot of that came from like my athletic background. Honestly, like if you played sports, like especially collegiate level sports, you kind of know, like you go out there and you're just like, yeah, like I'm going to get after it. So I think I just have always carried that inside of me. I have a listing appointment today. I'm showing up in my sneakers. Like I got on a nice little suit, but I'm wearing sneakers. And people kind of like, okay, they compliment me on that. Like, oh, I like how you did that. I like what you did there. So I think I've just never been afraid to show up as me. I'm very happy and comfortable and confident in who I am. And so I have this expectation, fingers crossed, that people will receive that and like that. So I never felt the need to be someone else because like Melanie was pretty awesome. So
I love it. I think that's so important and amazing closing words for our segment. As we go out there into the world and we seek to build our businesses and to build our lives, there's no substitute for who you are. And you've heard it from the amazing Melanie Miller, who's accomplished all this. I hope that we can all, as we go about seeking to build amazing businesses and amazing lives, do so in a way that puts ourselves first and puts our authentic selves out there in a way to make an impact. So thank you so much for joining us today, Melanie. It's been an amazing conversation, and we look forward to continuing it as things go forward here.
Yes, yes. Thank you, Mel.
Thank you guys so much. You're amazing.
Follow the Color of Money podcast today and get notified when new episodes are released weekly.
Be part of this transformative listening experience.
This podcast is for general informational purposes only. The views, thoughts, and opinions of the guest represent those of the guest and not KWRI and its affiliates, and should not be construed as financial, economic, legal, tax, or other advice. This podcast is provided without any warranty or guarantee of its accuracy, completeness, timeliness, or results from using the information.